Matters the Basics, brought to you by Petso Financial. My name is Jennifer Stone. I'm a certified financial planner with Petso Financial and have over 24 years of experience. Tom Brown is joining me today, and he is also a certified financial planner with Petso Financial, and he's been working with us for over 12 years now.
Yep.
I always call him still the new guy. The new guy. Yeah. Isn't it funny how that title sticks, even though he's been here for 12 years? So we are going to talk about, well, basically the reason I brought Tom in today is he is a budgeting cash flow expert. He works and is a Dave Ramsey certified...
Financial coach.
Financial coach.
Budgeting coach.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep. Anyways, master coach, that's
there
what they
you
call
go.
It.
Yeah, so he does this a lot. He works with people that are in piles of debt and need help. So he's very good at this. But we also want to tie it into your first job, because there's a lot that goes with them. They kind of go in together. We think they run parallel to each other. So you need to do both at the same time.
Right.
When you get your first job, you get a first large paycheck. Don't spend it all.
Right. Have a plan. Understand everything about how your company works. Obviously, you want to know how your job works, but you want to know what your benefits are being offered and what those, how they all work. And it can be overwhelming. The terms that are used in these benefit packages are not normal terms that we use day to day. So the thing to do is sit down, break apart everything you have, and then find out and ask questions until you feel familiar and you feel that you can, you know what you have and how it works.
Because the first thing that you get when you sign up for your first job is a pile of paperwork to sign up for the benefits. And that's what Tom's talking about. Go through those and figure out what they are.
Right. And nowadays, I think that even more so, they don't get so much paperwork. It's just you go online and here's your benefit package. And so even before, when you had paper, you could kind of, hey, I'll take this home and look at it. Now it's like, I got to log in and I'll look at it. And we're less inclined to really do that. We'll say, oh, I got health insurance.
Okay, that's all I care about.
Yeah, but I don't really know how much it covers. I don't know anything until I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thing called disability insurance. I'm not really sure what that means.
Right.
And hopefully I'll never need it because it sounds scary.
Yep. But thing we were talking about too is people get disabled all the time.
Right.
They don't, and everybody will get life insurance to protect their family,
right.
But what about insuring your income stream?
Right.
And that's what disability insurance does.
Right, and people don't understand, okay, I get disability, but when does it kick in? When does it actually work? What does it cover? Does it only cover when you get hurt at work? Does it? If I got a car accident, do I still get covered? Those are the things you have to understand because, again, financial planning is a process of reducing risk over time. And so your benefit package at work is a great place to minimize those risks. And your company is offering all these great things because they want you to be an employee for a long time. So they're offering you these benefits and you should know what you have, because I think one of the greatest problems people have is that they don't take advantage of these things and they could be farther along and they end up spending a lot of money on things they didn't need because, oh, I already had that. I didn't even know.
Yep. So dive into those, look at them. One that I think we're the most passionate about, so we always tend to cover in more detail than probably you need, is the 401k. Not all businesses offer them, of course. Some offer, small businesses offer what's called a simple IRA. Basically, that's just a mini 401k. Some offer matches, some don't. But that doesn't mean you don't save. What a match is, if this is not something that's clear... Sounds clear, but I understand how it gets confusing, is you defer money, you put it into a retirement account, and your employer will add to it.
Right. And so they'll offer, for instance, if you put in 3% of your paycheck, they'll match that up to 3%. So it'll usually be in percentages. Sometimes it's in dollar amounts. It's each company will be a little bit different, but it's usually some sort of match. If in the world... there is only one investment that pays you 100% for everything you put in, and that is your company match.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be, if there was a place where they said, hey, we can offer you 100% rate of return on your investment, no one would ever go anywhere else. Why would they do that? You have that ability. If you have a match at work, the first thing you do is you get that match. Mm-hmm. Now, we recommend that you have a goal of putting 10% of your gross pay into your 401k, whether you get a match or not. And that's what you should be doing. And if you can, do that right away. Do that before you get a first paycheck, just 10%.
And I'm going to add to this because we're mm-hmm. pushing really hard on this side. Mm-hmm. You cannot afford not to. You have to sign up for a 401k and get started. There are really very few pensions out there anymore where the employer puts money into something and then pays you an income stream for life at retirement. Social Security was never, ever, ever designed to be your sole source of retirement. So they used to have what they called a three-legged stool.
Right.
One piece was a pension, one leg was a pension, one leg was your 401k, and one leg was Social Security.
Right.
Well, pension's gone now, so now you have a two-legged stool. It's slightly uncomfortable.
And that Social Security one is short.
Right. Okay?
So you're really off balance.
So what we say is the deferral side should be one leg. A Roth side should mm-hmm. be the second leg.
Right.
And then Social Security should kind of be the middle peg that doesn't really even
doesn't
need
touch
to touch
the ground.
It's
right,
just not important.
Just extra.
Yep.
And again, going back to our goal, you know, because you got to make this simple. If we make it too complicated, it's just very few people will want to stick with a plan like this. So when we're talking about 10%, we're saying 10% of your money, not 10% including the match. So if you're getting a 4% match, that means you're going to end up putting equivalent of 14% into your 401k. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But 10% needs it. There is some magic. And if you go back years and years and years, you read all the books from the way back as far as financial planning and savings, there's some magic about 10%. Mm-hmm. So getting to that amount is 10%. Now, if you get there and everything is going good and you want to put more in, great. That's just extra. But 10% is probably a great place to start.
Yep. And then there's different ways of putting it away. So now we've decided we're going to put 10% of our money away. It's a given. We're doing this. We're done. So now do you put it in a deferred side, which means it reduces your income today? Or do you put it in an after-tax side, which means you pay tax today, but it comes out tax-free at retirement?
And the answer is yes.
To both.
Yes. So quite a few plans nowadays will offer a Roth 401k or there's other types, but a Roth option and a deferred option. Like Jennifer was saying, the deferred option reduces your taxable income now. The Roth option, when you put the money in, they'll reduce your taxes later. There's a lot of complicated term, you know, things with that. But the most important thing is that if you have those available, take advantage of both.
Yep.
You're going to read a lot of things. A lot of people tell you, your guy that sits next to you in the cubicle next to you, works with you, your family, whatever, will tell you, you need to do this, do that. Everybody has the right answer. The most important thing is that you will do a lot better is if you just like have a plan for yourself and follow your plan. And that is when you end up in retirement, you want to have flexibility of having tax-free money, which will come from the Roth side, or taxable money that will come from the deferred side because that helped you save taxes as you worked. So the right answer is having everything you can have available and take advantage of that.
And the Roth is newer. When we first started in the business, there weren't Roths, actually. Right. I think they were
1997.
So there weren't Roths to be able to do this. So we have clients that have saved money, have a pile of assets that are pre-tax. They thought they would be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. And they're not so much because they have to draw from the pre-tax side. Then Social Security becomes taxable. And we'll talk taxes a little bit more, as well as where to put the money. But just what we're saying is diversify the types of investments you can draw money from, as well as diversifying the assets, the stocks, the investments you have internally. Different show, different topic. But please understand you need to start putting money away today. As soon as you get that first job, get that 10% started so that your legs are even. We need to get that going, okay?
And we certainly do. And going along with those lines, I'm going to step back and talk about health insurance. There's a different type of health insurance plan that you might have available at your work. It's called a HSA, Health Savings Account. If you have that available, take advantage of that too. Get money in there because that goes in tax deferred. And if you use it for medical expenses, it's tax free. So using one of those HSAs, great way to save and pay for your medical expenses. Your company is giving you the ability to pay pre-tax money on your medical. So take advantage of that too. Now we're not saying maybe put 10%. Retirement, need to make sure because at the end of the day, you have to have that retirement to live off of. But as far as HSA, make sure that you're taking advantage and see how that works because that is a great additional benefit.
Yep. That's just going back to knowing what you have. And you can get some guidance. Most employers mm-hmm. have a relationship with a financial advisor that will give you some guidance on what packet you're able to use. But get the guidance that's out there. Mm-hmm. Ask for help if you're not sure what we're talking about here. But just understand what you have when you get started. Right. Okay, so basically, go through the packet that you're given when you first sign up. Enroll immediately on that 401k. My favorite thing are employers that force people to opt out, not opt in. Right. Because you won't miss the money if it instantly comes out.
Right.
So again, go through the details, know what you have there. But this leads very much into also the budgeting side. When you get that first job, you need to figure out your budget. Budget is a word that people run from. And Tom told me once that if you smooth it out and soften it with the word cash flow, I don't know why.
Right.
That sounds nicer than budgeting.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Because it has the word cash in it.
Oh, people like cash.
Budget out.
Yeah. Budget's restrictive?
Yeah.
Flow. Maybe flow.
Because a lot of people, I think, were beat up by budgets, you know. Their parents told them, hey, that's not in the budget, we can't afford it. That's not in the budget, we can't afford it. You know, whatever the case may be. Budget, you know, federal, you know, that our government spends more than its budget. You know, there's never anything that people like budget and the angels are singing and birds are fading. It's always a negative thing. So if you think, hey, I'm going to sit down with my wife or spouse or whoever and I'm going to figure out our cash flow plan on where our cash flow is going, gravitate toward that
a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, budgeting, I don't know why it's a negative to be structured. So when we say that, like Tom's saying, it's a negative tone with budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a responsible person. So to me, it's why do we have to get fancy with words? And, you know, cash flow sounds better.
Right.
You know, but whatever works. So here I am lecturing a bit, but I don't get it right. I mean, when we first, because we did this wrong, believe me, when we first got our jobs, it actually paid us something when we were very young. We had hand-me-down furniture that was duct taped together because, you know what, we couldn't afford anything else. So when you go to those furniture stores and they say, for $10 a month, you can have this furniture set. It's almost like it glows. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I can have that?
Yeah. And the angels are singing.
Yes, they are. Look at that beautiful piece of furniture.
And the thing is that we, if you don't have a budget, then you're more bound to do that.
Mm-hmm. I can afford the payment.
But there is something that is very nostalgic and real to say, hey, we lived on an old broken down couch. We got at the Idaho Youth Ranch and we got this and we had, you know, macaroni and cheese and hot dogs for dinner by candlelight because we had to turn the lights off. There's something about that. When we go in there and we bought a brand new house and we overdid this and overdid that and we, you know, we were going to Hawaii the first year we got married and we put it all on credit cards. Those things all kind of, the unreality of that, it really becomes hollow when you look in the past.
Yep.
Growing into a financial net worth, growing your finances slowly, there is some magic to that. I think that people enjoy that they came from this and came here instead. Instantly we were here, we couldn't afford it, and now where do we go?
And I think that's part of the problem today. It used to be, we all drove those cars that you look back on and you say, that really got me from point A to point B and didn't break down. I remember my first car, and this is very funny, Tom has similar stories, drove across a railroad track and the frame snapped. Really?
Right.
And now we think, oh, our kids have to drive brand new cars because we don't want them to be in that situation. Or we don't want them to have to struggle. We want them to have the best of everything. So sometimes I think what we grew through that we now look back on like with nostalgia and say, wow, that was an amazing experience. I love that part of our relationship when we didn't have much and we got to eat.
Just each other.
Yeah, couldn't afford anything other than the three channels on the TV with our dial knob and all that stuff that we talk about. Sometimes I wonder if the next generation is ever going to experience that because they don't have any struggles.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think going back to this, though, it's sitting down, working through where you're spending your money, setting goals for yourself, and minimizing those goals down to things where you're able to live within your means, which means you're able, if you're spending more money, if you're building up debt because you're spending more money than is in your budget, then you're living above your budget. You need to live within your cash flow plan. And you need to say, here's how much money is coming in. We're going to live within that. People that do that, they're less restricted. They're more happy. They're able to do more things later than if they get out of control and build bad behavior of overspending early.
Okay, a couple ways to budget. Let's get to that real quick. A couple different ideas that we have. We'll share how we do it just to give you some background. And then you can do it your own way. But we're going to share the two ways that we do it. I live more with the 70-20-10 plan, which is very flexible because you can always increase the percentages other than the 70. That's the one mm-hmm. you can't increase. 70% is what you live on. That's for expenses and bills and everything in the world, fun, everything. 20% is what we call put and take. You know you're going to use that for vacation, cars, whatever may come up. That is more of a flexible spending type of an account. 10% is long-term, not touchable. That goes towards retirement. Those numbers, like I said, I may put 15%, I may put 20 long-term, I may put 10, whatever works within your budget, but that 70% can never increase. So I pay myself, I pay my bills, I pay into savings, and I live on what's left. Tom does his a little different.
Right. I start out with what income we're coming in. I break out where that money's going. I sit down with my wife. We go through the budget, planning out what's coming up this next month, making sure we've allocated money for that, and allocating all the money down to, you know, the final dollar on what that is. And that can include just saving. It doesn't have to be that everything, you're spending everything on something. It means that you're allocating that money so you know where the money's going. You're telling your money where you go, and you have control instead of all of a sudden something comes out of the blue that you could have planned for, but you didn't just because you put your head in the sand. And again,
like Christmas,
right? Or birthdays, or kids' events,
college,
or
whatever.
Kids,
yeah.
The soccer fees for the soccer team. All those things. We have to be planning for how we spend money instead of just letting money, letting life happen
dictate
to
us.
Our
yeah.
cash flow plan.
Correct. Right. Correct. All right. So, again, just to go back on what we've talked about here. Please, first of all, if you have topics you'd like us to discuss, go to our website, shoot us over, or contact us at petsofinancial.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, these are educational segments. We're trying to break apart financial planning into pieces so that people understand all the details. Again, go through those benefits during your first job. Understand what you have available to you. If you need help, ask your human resource officer if you have someone assigned to the company to help. If not, look for an independent financial advisor. Go out there and get some help. Second, budget, cash flow, whatever feels better for you, do it. Don't
right.
let it go.
And don't worry about buying something fancy. If it just takes you writing down on a notebook,
yep.
if it takes you doing a spreadsheet, whatever the case may be, just get started and find out where your money's going and try and focus on living within your means.
All right, Tom, thank you. Thank you
thank
for joining
you.
Me today. It was a great. Future shows, we're going to talk about different benefits, how to invest your 401k assets. Life insurance, stuff like that. So anyways, we'd love to hear from you again, petsofinancial.com.